Man, that was a heck of a game. You know, we were talking about, you know, you hear all this stuff, greatest Super Bowl ever and all that. If it would have been back and forth and ended 34-28 in overtime, I probably would have put it up there. But it was just one of the more compelling games I think we've ever seen with the way it all transpired. How about you?
Yeah, I'll put it this way. I've been on this earth for nearly 32 years, coming up in April. That's the best and one of the best of my lifetime.
Right.
It definitely ranks up there for me. You kind of got to let it sit and simmer a little before grand statements like that, I suppose. Here, not even 24 hours removed. Speaking of which, you know, not quite 24 hours removed. I'm still trying to grasp how Julian Edelman caught that ball twice. And he did catch it twice, you know, when you watch it. It went through a sea of arms and legs, and he clutched it again. It was just, to me, it was so David Tyree-esque. That's the instant reaction everybody had. And it's true. It's, I don't know, some cosmic football gods looking down upon us and decide they're with the Patriots this time, I suppose.
Two different receptions, but which one impressed you more, Edelman's or Julio Jones on the sideline?
I'll go with Jones there, and unfortunately, that's going to be forgotten now. But that is the acrobatic sort of the essence of what Julio Jones always is. I mean, he high pointed the ball left high, and he does that often. But then when you look at it, he's got the 1 foot down, barely in bounds, and his left foot is still, you know, way up in the air, airborne. How he manages to get that in and not have his momentum of his body carry him out of bounds before it happens, it just, you know, it defies the laws of physics, really. And I'm not taking anything away from Edelman. Obviously, to get to that ball, that should have been an interception. It just, to me, just the acrobatics at play. There was a little bit more of luck involved with Edelman, I would say, for that ball to not even to bounce on a leg and to not hit the turf. But let's not forget what Julio Jones did. It was amazing.
I thought that both of them should have been intercepted. The one that Julio Jones got, I mean, that just barely, you know, got over the defender's hands. I thought that one was going to be interception. Defender was in perfect position to intercept that one.
It should have been, and, you know, to me, there were several areas where defenses just really didn't capitalize, and you're right on that one, and then also the Falcons definitely should have picked that Edelman ball off. And beyond that, I mean, in that second half, once that proverbial snowball started to roll, you can point to many reasons for it, but the one I go back to just to begin with, there were five either third or fourth down situations where they could have gotten off the field and didn't. And we're not talking like third and short here. Brady ran for 15 yards. There was an 18-yard reception. It was all big chunk plays. And they just could not get off the field for the life of them.
The third and one back in their own territory up 28-12, or the fact that they didn't run the ball three straight times after that Jones completion down at the 22, which one do you think, which area will go down more historically as a historical fail for the Falcons?
It's almost a tie in terms of the baffling, but I will go with the strips, what ended up being the strip sack. Now, yeah, I get it. The Falcons, their character, what they are as a team and an offense, is a high octane passing unit. And even when football fundamentals call for you to run, sometimes you don't want to stray from who you are and what you've done and how you've gotten there. But I think you need to have some discipline as a play caller at some point still. Now, Freeman got stuffed on first down. It was second and 11. You know, worst case scenario, maybe he stumbled ahead for 3 yards then, and you've got a kind of manageable third down. The clock ticks away. You force him to use a timeout. Okay, that's not the worst thing to happen. But to drop back on that down and force Matt Ryan into a situation where it's passing. And, you know, he should have taken the sack. You throw the ball into the 10th row before you take that sack, but regardless. And when you watch Freeman on that play, and I've watched it way too many times at this point, when he whiffed on that block, it was as if there was a miscommunication, as if he expected to chip and then bounce out. It was sort of strange watching it. But anyways, that to me is really the mistake that truly stands out.
Was there any doubt after when the Patriots got the ball back that final time in regulation, any doubt in your mind that they weren't going to go down and score?
No, I mean, you can't help but have a little bit of doubt at that point, because even though you know everything, it's Tom Brady, and he's one of the best quarterbacks of this era. He's, you know, it was second to MVP voting this year. It was just, you're still thinking, man, this was 25 points at one point. And just the amount of things that had to go right, and I'm not at all taking anything away from the Patriots. It was a phenomenal comeback. But yes, we already talked about the Edelman catch. But they had to not just score two touchdowns, but then two-point conversions. And a two-point conversion in the NFL, it's basically a coin toss, right? Mm-hmm. And then they also had to win an actual coin toss. there's a lot that had to fall into place, and they had to be absolutely perfect. And they were. And Tom Brady is. And anybody who ever – I know there's a lot of Patriots haters, and I get it, but you have to respect what that franchise has done the past 15 years.
My question, and I've heard it several times today, the overtime rule in pro football, we know what it is, but in a game like this in the Super Bowl, do you think there's any impetus to look at this and say, hey, look, it's a 28-28 tie, both teams ought to get a possession in overtime, whether it's to play another, you know, full quarter and see who's ahead at the end of the quarter, or giving each of them a possession? Any impetus there? Because, you know, you can say it, but this was the Super Bowl, and New England got the ball, and if they score a touchdown, it's over. And, you know, I just think that needs to be looked at, especially in this game. Maybe not the regular season, but in this game.
Yeah, I think it's certainly something that will be consulted and looked at. Now, the league, understandably, I think, will always be hesitant to make a special rule for the playoffs, even though that's how the current overtime system that is throughout the season now came into play to begin with. But I've always been of the mind, and I guess you'll disagree, and that if you can't stop an offense from marching down 75 yards away down the field, you've earned the right to lose at some point. Now, the old system, in which, you know, let's say you get a solid kick return to even the 35-yard line. Well, at that point, you're only two completions away often from a field goal, and that was awful because that was truly a coin flip. But in this, currently, if you get the field goal, you get another chance to come back. I personally don't mind the current system, but I would even concede that the next way to be truly equal is to say that even if you do have a touchdown, the other team still gets a chance to respond at that point. The problem is that it's not a sport, and rightfully so in my opinion, that likes ties. It's not just when you have 60 minutes and then beyond that and you still can't determine a winner. We had a few games like that this year. So if you give the opportunity to have a touchdown not stand as the game-winning touchdown, if you marked the whole field, you're going to have potentially more ties. So it's an interesting give and take and a conversation we've had for a while, and there might be a bit more push from it, but I think we're not quite there yet.
Got to ask, this just came to my mind. When you saw the flag on that tying two-point conversion, what was the first thought? Offensive pass interference?
That came to my mind. My first thought throughout the whole, you know, it just seems that any time, and this year was especially bad for it, any time there's the proverbial edge of your seat, you know, throwing popcorn at the TV kind of play in the NFL this year, you just, as a fan, you know, as a writer, I'm still a fan, you brace yourself for something yellow flying on the field. And this was the pinnacle moment, and that was still happening. I all throughout this season, we talked about TV ratings and why they were declining at one point, and people talked about the election often. But to me, that was part of the reason. But yeah, that was my initial reaction.
I'm curious to know, and I don't know how many radio spots you've done today or how many questions you've been asked about it. But
I'm on number four.
How many questions did you get? Now, I wasn't going to ask this. Did the Patriots win it or Falcons lose it? How many of those did you get?
I'll give you credit for being the first one on there.
Yes. I'm not asking the question. I was just wondering how many there were.
You're the first guy, surprisingly, and I guess I'll still answer it quickly. I mean, I'll sort of ride the fence. I mean, again, I'm not taking anything away from the Patriots, but you really have to put effort into losing when you have a 25-point lead. That's four scores. And it was 21-3 at halftime. And it wasn't even just people, and I did this too a bit in my writing when I was writing at some ungodly hour this morning. It was halfway through the third quarter when the Falcons scored that touchdown to go up 28-3. There was, I think it was about eight minutes left in the third quarter, so almost halfway through the third quarter. There was about 23 minutes of game time left to blow a 25-point lead. And even once you had that initial touchdown, that awful strip sack, you know, all they had to do was not give them, you know, move backwards 22 yards with the sack and the penalty. And they were in field goal range. It was just so much went wrong so quickly.
So what you're saying is both teams really worked hard in the second half, one to win and one to lose?
Yeah, basically. I mean, they were in field goal range, a long field goal, but definitely a potential field goal, and that would have made it an 11-point game. And then we'd be talking about Kyle Shanahan going to the 49ers with a ring, and it'd be much different right now.
I was just trying to avoid embracing debate with you, Sean.
Yeah.
Well, we.
I thought when you recover the onside kick and get the 5-yard penalty, and you're the other team's 41 to start your drive, and you do absolutely diddly squat with it.
Yeah,
that didn't help either.
Yes, that also didn't help. But I'll embrace the debate all night with you for sure.
We go skip Bayless Shannon Sharp or skip Bayless Stephen A. You know.
Well, nobody wants to be clueless, so you know, pick two more guys.
I'm not sure my voice is quite booming enough to be Shannon Sharp, but I can try.
Hey man, we appreciate it. At the time, as always, Sean, good stuff all year long. And now I know there's really no technical off season for NFL writers, but maybe it'll slow down a little bit for you coming up now.
Yeah, we're into the combine before you know it, free agency, and yeah. But it's been a great year, that's for sure. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I've got one last comment. If you're a college kid coming out of college this year, and you're short and white but pretty speedy, I think you'd have your agent talking to the Patriots right now about getting a tryout.
Yeah, they have a history of that, don't they? Going back to the Welker days, listen, Brady and slot receivers, they've connected forever. And just the different ways that team has won, right? You go back to the Moss years or the two tight ends, and now it's defense. That's what you have to respect about that team to me.
It evolves all the time. Thank you so much, Sean. Good stuff, and we look forward to chatting with you again. Thank you again.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right, bye-bye.